1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Tornadoes hit Texas, Oklahoma, and Nebraska Friday afternoon. Hundreds of buildings and homes were damaged in Omaha, Nebraska. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports.
Multiple tornadoes ripping through the state.
That is a tornado in Lincoln, Nebraska.
With reports of major damage, including a building collapse near Waverly and a train blown off the tracks.
Wow.
The violent tornadoes also tearing through central Texas.
Additional college campuses are jumping in the protests against the Israel-Hamas war. Correspondent Lilia Luciano is in New York City.
New pro-Palestinian demonstrations at Loyola University in Louisiana, Stanford, and Arizona State.
ASU has been an extremely safe environment. I think that this year I have been feeling that that is not the case.
Here at Columbia University, where it all began, it's day 10 of protests, and student protesters are saying, we're going to keep the tents up until the university meets our demands.
Much of the first week of testimony in former President Donald Trump's hush money trial revolved around former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker.
Two witnesses were called after David Pecker. Rona Graff, a trusted associate of Donald Trump. She was his former executive assistant and moved her way up at the Trump Organization. And just before the proceedings adjourned for the weekend, they heard from Gary Faro, who's best described as a type of custodian of records for Michael Cohen.
CBS's Errol Barnett reporting. The Biden administration is again delaying a plan to ban menthol cigarettes. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has the latest from the White House.
It's the second delay in 2 months, and the Secretary of Health and Human Services says only that more time is needed to consider feedback. The delay is certain to anger anti-smoking advocates, but it may be good news for those who smoke menthols. They're especially popular among black smokers and teenage smokers.
There is positive news out of the UK about the royal family, the BBC's Stuart McIntosh.
King Charles is to start returning to public duties in Britain next week after reacting positively to treatment for cancer. Buckingham Palace said doctors had been very encouraged by his progress so far. He'll continue to be treated for an unspecified form of the disease. His upcoming duties will include hosting Emperor Naruhito of Japan in June for a state visit.
King Charles is 75 years old. Regulators abruptly closed Republic First Bank operating in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York, the first bank failure this year. Fulton Bank in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, will take over Republic's deposits, assets, and branches. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Women in politics are reporting a spike in threats and harassment. Mike Moan reports.
The Brennan Center for Justice recently issued findings that detail the threatening behavior those in the political arena are experiencing now. Women were 3 to 4 times as likely as men to experience abuse targeting their gender. Erin Velarde of the advocacy and assistance group Vote Run Lead says this creates more unfairness in areas such as resource planning for a campaign.
We see women candidates and incumbents right now having to pay for security, right? Having to put in their budgets, in their campaign funds, in their line items, you know, for their campaigns, a security detail.
Ann Velarde says because of the worsening climate, the threats are extending to almost all other candidates, including conservative white men. She and other researchers call on party leaders to strongly condemn political violence. They also recommend that each state implement stronger protection for office holders. And Velarde says it's not just women candidates and incumbents having to deal with this behavior. Women working as top aides and political journalists are subject to more hateful rhetoric these days.
This is something that permeates women in politics, not just for the folks that are stepping up to lead, but for the ecosystem of women around them.
And if more women decide not to run or seek re-election as a result, Velarde says this means there will be fewer opportunities for gender equality in leadership positions in state legislatures and Congress. She urges constituents to send messages of support to women office holders as they weigh these challenges and their political futures. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Few showers and storms tonight and breezy. Temps steady to slowly rising through the 50s. Some rain around tomorrow morning, then mostly cloudy for the afternoon and a high in the mid-70s. A little breezy. More rain possible tomorrow night and cooler with showers Sunday. Right now it's 48.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we recap the weekend news events and kick off It's Gonna Be May Week.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
It's gonna be May.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
A time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Don't you look at me like that, Salvia. Welcome to the airwaves, little buddy.
Crudy, happy Friday. Great to be here. Rich, thank you for putting up with us, my man. And of course, our fair audience, thank you. We made it through the week. Welcome to the political party.
It has been an exceptional week in political talk. I love weeks like
this.
Yes,
I return to 3 hours a day. It has been exceptional. Some would say historic, Crudy.
And I will just let you in on an insight. The audience seemingly likes it as well, especially trash talking Jeff from Shorewood. You better be out there, Jeff. Here's the answer. Yes, he gets half. Shut up and buy the T-shirt. DevilRadioSwag.com. Each and every day.
Baby.
He's peppering me on the text line. Because we have bills, too.
It's all good. We get it. And we got Thank you, Jeff. And everyone.
We got some fine guests coming as well, Dom. William Walter, he is the executive director. What is it? Our Wisconsin Revolution. Sometimes I get that wrong. I don't know how. Usually it's just the Young Adolphs Foundation I screw up.
From that Young America's Foundation.
Oh,
that Scott Walker
did I get
runs.
It wrong yes, again?
I get it. It's A, America's, Adolphs, you know, I can see how it happens, but we always want to make sure we, you know, are accurate. Keep the record correct here.
William Walter joining me 3:30 today right here in the WMDX 92.7 FM studios. And much later in the show, it's still going to be great. Between here and there, you're going to want to make a note of the fact that we've got Dr. Kristen Lierley. She's an OBGYN and a congressional candidate in the 8th CD. And in part, Dom, I invited Dr. Lierley back on the show because of some action before the U.S. Supreme Court on Wednesday. And I know we put a lot of attention on what happened on Thursday, and there is a local take on this as well. Gwen Moore, Lisa Subek, trying to make sure that women in the state of Wisconsin retain access to contraceptive care. But here's what the U.S. Supreme Court heard on Wednesday, and I'm only going briefly to the reporting at the Washington Post. Want to set the stage somewhat, though. Here's the headline that caught my eye, Dom. Conservative justices skeptical. Federal law requires emergency abortion care. Well, since Roe v. Wade was overturned by this very same 6-3 conservative blocked court, well, hell, Dom, they don't think that states like Idaho that have very restrictive abortion laws should be forced to do abortions, even if it meant saving the life of the mother or something just short thereof. You know, let's say she's having kidney failure. That's not a good enough reason, because under Idaho law, the provider would be criminalized.
Terrible.
So here just is terrible. A little of the coverage from the Post. Annie Marinow writes, a divided Supreme Court seemed skeptical Wednesday that federal law can require hospitals to provide emergency abortion care in states with strict bans on the procedure. What about the supremacy clause? Can't federal law overtake state law? Can't we dictate? Isn't that? Anyways.
What kind of a state's going to allow the person to die?
Idaho.
Terrible.
Currently Arizona, although I hear there's action to try and repeal their 1864 law. We haven't had a ruling from the Wisconsin Supreme Court yet. So the only ruling in effect that sets aside Wisconsin's 1849 law is a district court judge in Dane County, where I live. Supposedly very liberal, Dom. So there's not a lot of assurance out there for women, certainly in a number of states. But anyways, the U.S. Supreme Court, they're back at it. In the latest legal battle over access to abortion since the High Court overturned Roe v. Wade nearly 2 years ago. Again, this action happened on Wednesday, oral arguments. And throughout the 2 hours of argument, only the court's three liberal justices strongly backed the Biden administration's view that a 40-year-old emergency care law preempts Idaho's strict ban, which imposes penalties of up to 5 years in prison on doctors who perform the procedure, with an exception when necessary to prevent the death of a pregnant woman.
Now, there we go. Okay.
Liberal justices repeatedly raised detailed, harrowing examples of women facing health emergencies short of death, including infertility and kidney failure, and said pregnant women in Idaho were being forced out of state for emergency abortion care in violation of federal law. Supremacy clause, just keep saying it, Dom. Conservative justices who make up the majority of the court push back on the Biden administration's interpretation of Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act and suggested that the federal government cannot force private hospitals that receive federal funds to violate a state's law. I think they can. I think they can. How can you impose restrictions on what Idaho can criminalize? Justice, I love this one, Samuel Alito asked the Solicitor General. That's the tone of the questions being asked by the conservative justices. And let's not forget, it's a stacked deck, a stacked court, 6-3. So what these conservatives are willing to force feed, that's what we get. America, that's the court, the highest court. They always get the last word. In part, that's why I've asked Dr. Kristen Lyerly, OBGYN, who has been forced to leave the state of Wisconsin to practice her vocation. She often practices in Minnesota. So anyways, she's got some opinions, and she's running for the U.S. Congress. Now, Joe Biden needs to do something about this. The Democrats need to do something about this, because Republicans certainly are not going to. The advocacy of Donald Trump is what? States' rights. They're getting it right.
But it depends on the day. It will depend on the advocacy of Donald Trump.
Well,
he's been consistent.
Well, he did consistently brag about the fact that he impaneled the three justices that overturned the Roe v. Wade. Takes credit for that. Credit. This is what he wanted to happen. So just keep that in mind this November, folks. But, Dom, what about the proposition of Lisa Subak and Gwen Moore? People from the great state of Wisconsin, a little closer to home.
They, according to the Urban Milwaukee, they're calling for statutory protections for contraception, an urgent need on Wednesday. Both lawmakers pushed for a Right to Contraception Act in their respective roles at the federal and state levels. Gwen Moore, Congresswoman, my Congresswoman, said encoding protections into law are more important than ever due to the Dobbs decision, which eliminated federal protections for abortions. Here's what she had to say. We have to fight this on every level of government, Moore said during a press call held by Americans for Contraception. It's going to take a coalition to fight against the powerful Supreme Court decision, which undermined and overturned Roe v. Wade. Similar to abortion prior to Dobbs, two U.S. Supreme Court decisions, Griswold, Connecticut, and Einstead versus Baird, established that the constitutional right to privacy encompasses the right to obtain contraceptions. Moore is a supporter of the Right to Contraception Act in Congress, which would set out statutory protections for an individual's right to access and a healthcare provider's right to provide contraception and related information. Subic, along with State Senator Diane Hesselbein, a Democrat from Madison, introduced a similar failed bill in the state legislature that would establish those rights in Wisconsin. Neither measure has progressed due to Republican opposition. Moore said these statutory protections would help maintain people's personal autonomy and preserve a woman's ability to shape her own future. Another quote, it's about bodily autonomy and being able to have comprehensive health care. The right for reproductive, the fight for reproductive rights includes your rights to contraception, and we can't afford to lose this. It's time for us to stand up for our rights and values and ensure our laws protect our values. Echoing Moore's comments, Lisa Subic said that Wisconsinites have the right to make their own decisions, whether it's about their reproductive health care, about their families, family planning, or even developing their own future. She added that people are having to fight to uphold that right. Contraception, man. Really, how far back are we going to roll with these Republicans? Oh, you can't have contraception. Oh, you actually have no right to privacy. Really? This is the world we are living in now. I have no right to privacy. We don't have right to contraception because Republicans believe that let's just get to it. Let's call it what it is. We'll offend their God. That's why this is happening.
Dominic, mifepristone, I believe, and I'm no expert on this topic. That's why we've got an OBGYN coming later in the show. Right. But the mifepristone arguments before the Supreme Court, I don't think we've had a ruling on that either, and this also affects abortive rights of women. It maintained the judgment, let me see here, oral arguments at the U.S. Supreme Court. This happened very recently, Dom, March 26th of 2024. So, women under attack by this court.
Continually.
By Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
By the guy that is the nominee of the Republican Party. You know, it's not just the tick-tacking up and the grabbing him by the He's grabbing him by their rights, and he's stealing them. Taking them. Bragging about it after the fact.
Yes, absolutely. Never forget, it's the GOP. You know, it's Donald Trump. It's the MAGAs. It's on the state level. It's on the federal level. It's everywhere all the time. Coming continually for your rights. Because they don't want abortions. They don't want contraception. They don't want all sorts of things. And for some reason, they think that they can force you to live like them. And that's a bunch of bunk.
Well, don't tell that to their mistresses. Ask Jason Miller, right?
Right.
Accused of slipping her a Mickey trying to force an abortion, a medical abortion. Folks, we are the devil's advocates. Makes me a little crazy on a Friday. Airing up the grievances. Man. That's what we do around here. Get it off your chest. Do a little venting. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994.
But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
He's bound it down, loaded up and trucking.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all, airing of the grievances. Crudy's got me a little pissed off right now, but looking forward to our conversation with Kristen Lyerly at 5:30. And also William Walter coming up 3:30. He's the executive director for our Wisconsin Revolution. Big show. You can join us on the lines today, 844-967-2789.
Dom, I hear that song, it makes me wonder, whatever happened to those truckers for Trump? They ever find their way home?
No, I think they're still driving around the Beltline, man, in D.C.
Dom, looking a little closer to home, Daniel Bice, Allison Durr at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, Dan Bice yesterday reported about the new executive director of the Wisconsin GOP, and he sent some text, some rat F.
Operation Rat F. Yeah, to mess with the souls to the polls. You know, messing with the black voters, because that's what Republicans love to do.
And he described it as a joke, but there were actually action steps taken by his aide, who also tries to, what, cover his own ass, says it's that guy's fault. Well, today, Dom, the headline, Souls to the Polls calls for the removal of Wisconsin's GOP executive director over text messages. Now, I would wonder if the Republicans give a damn about black voters in the state of Wisconsin. They're not going to get any of the black votes. Their only job, and just ask Bob Spindell if you don't believe me. Bob Spindell is a Wisconsin elections commissioner. Bob Spindell is a Republican who represents, I believe it's the 4th CD, Dom, maybe Gwen Moore CD. He's a Milwaukee area CD chairman for the Republican Party. And Bob was very excited about the prospect that they suppressed 38,000 black and Latino votes in Milwaukee between 2018, when Tony Evers got elected, and 2022, Evers got reelected, but on that very same ballot, Mandela Barnes, black, if you didn't realize, the former lieutenant governor, he lost to a Southern strategy employing Ron Johnson. 2022, right? Bob Spindell came in.
Yep. Bob Spindell, this guy also said, there is no white Republican that has done more for the black community than me. So I suggest you go back and take a look at my past record. that's Bob Spindell.
Very, very Trump-like in his self-aggrandizement on this point. No one's been better for the blacks than me and Bob Spindell.
Trump has shown them the way. Look at how the MAGA have embraced this vitriolic communication that copied the man. Absolutely, they love this man. And Spindell, he's a true believer, man. He's still, even after all this, on the Wisconsin Election Commission.
I hope he's future felon, allegedly, Bob Spindell, because he was a fake elector as well, Dom. That's the part sticks in my craw. Well, the voter suppression, the bragging about it, as a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, and the fact that he was a false Trump elector in 2020 and went into the state capitol and committed fraud, I would allege, in a criminal basis. And, of course, another Friday grievance. Why no indictments here in the state of Wisconsin?
I
am done talking about this. Well, I'm not done talking about it.
I'm going to keep talking about it. Josh Call. I mean, if Bob Spindell, this guy, were in Arizona right now, he would be indicted. If he were in Michigan, perhaps he would be indicted. You know what I'm saying? If he was in Nevada, would he be indicted? If he was in Georgia, would he be indicted? Why isn't he indicted here in Wisconsin?
Every single one of the fake elector states have indicted the fake electors, or it was Pennsylvania or New Mexico where they included caveats saying, we, the undersigned, only do so as an alternative in case litigation allows this to go forward, which was not incorporated in the Wisconsin language, despite the fact that Andrew Hitt is an attorney. Well, he was one of these signatories as well. He went on the 60 Minute and boo-hooed quite a bit. Oh, they duped me.
Trying to get out in front of it. I don't know what we were doing. I'm an old man. I'm confused. Were you pulling me the Seinfeld? I mean, the whole thing was just a preemptive strike by Hitt to try to get in front of this story. Again, indictments in other states, not in Wisconsin. But, what's that got to do with the Souls to the Polls?
Well, Don, the Souls to the Polls on Thursday called for the removal of Republican Party of Wisconsin's new executive director over Election Day 2020 text messages in which he asked about getting supporters of then-President Donald Trump to flood the Milwaukee Voting Rights Group with requests to be taken to the polls. The group's call came after the Journal Sentinel reported on text messages from the new GOP executive director, Andrew Iverson, different sort of AI, when he was Wisconsin head of the Trump Victory, a joint operation of the Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee in 2020, a workaround to exceed campaign finance laws, Crudy's editorial, but I read on. Today's news is the latest in a pattern of voter suppression and racism. Souls to the Polls Wisconsin Executive Director Greg Lewis said at a press conference Thursday outside a new early voting site on Milwaukee's north side. And he and representatives of other groups said the text messages showed an attempt to interfere with legitimate efforts to help Black and brown people vote and are part of a larger context that includes email communications from an appointed member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, looking at you, Bob Spindell, praising GOP campaign efforts that he said discouraged Black voter turnout in Milwaukee. The speakers called for the state and federal departments of justice to investigate what they called a potential conspiracy to suppress Black voters in the text message exchange.
Oh, it's all a joke, Crudy. That's the Republicans. They're said and they're standing by it. Here is what the texts were. Hey, can Mario help get some Trump supporters to participate in the Souls to the Polls? Can't wait to go vote for President Trump wearing MAGA hat or something. I'm excited about this. Wreak havoc, Iverson told Huffman, for the afternoon, and they'll make it clear they're excited to vote for Trump. They got a weird sense of humor, these cats.
You know, they're
trying to suppress the Black vote.
Were other text messages shared by Dan Bice on Twitter, some that were less ready for FCC. But, you know, let's see what sort of a line I can walk here real quick, Dom. The second one. Here's the one. Know some people that want to F with the Dems? How? Have our people spam their Souls to the Polls hotline in English? Just say that they want to ride and they're wearing their Trump stuff. Ha, ha, ha. Send me the details. Oh, there's more. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We've got William Walter from our Wisconsin Revolution. He's the executive director thereof, a friend of ours. It's a Friday. We air the grievances. Come on back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
CBS News Brief. Tornadoes touched down in three states this afternoon. The worst of the damage was in Omaha, Nebraska, where Pat Woods lives.
We watched it touch down about 200 yards over there, and then we went to get shelter. We could hear it going through. When we came back up, our fence was gone. We looked over to the northwest, and the whole neighborhood's gone.
Hundreds of structures were damaged. As college campuses across the country hold pro-Palestinian demonstrations, Secretary of State Antony Blinken had this to say about the Israel-Hamas war while in China.
The way Israel goes about ensuring that October 7th never happens again matters profoundly.
Former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker took center stage this week at the Trump hush money trial. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
As a witness for the prosecution, he was sharp and acknowledged under cross-examination
that prosecutors prepped him for his testimony. When questioned by Donald Trump's lawyers, he seemed more unsure of himself.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
The Packers draft a left tackle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers picked Jordan Morgan, a left tackle out of Arizona, in the first round. Morgan says he's watched a lot of tape of former Packer David Bakhtiari over the years.
Really strong arms, really strong upper body, and he can really lock people up, which is where I get my game from. I like to just lock people up and stalemate. And, I mean, he's just a dog.
At the 25th pick, did the Packers ever consider taking offers to trade down GM Brian Gutekunst?
There was a couple things we were looking at to make sense to move backwards. At the end of the day, because Jordan was available, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make sure we secured the player.
Iowa defensive back Cooper DeJean was not selected. He'll still be available tonight in rounds 2 and 3. Baseball. The Brewers with a 7-5 win over the Pirates, thanks to a 2-run homer by Gary Sanchez. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, he's a veteran hitter, and he's given us a big lift doing that. I mean, it won the game for us.
NBA, the Bucks and the Pacers in Indy tonight for game 3 of their playoff series. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Few showers and storms tonight and breezy. Temps steady to slowly rising through the 50s. Some rain around tomorrow morning, then mostly cloudy for the afternoon and a high in the mid-70s. A little breezy. More rain possible tomorrow night and cooler with showers Sunday. Right now it's 48.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute with a couple quick thoughts about boosting your credit score. The most important thing you can do is paying your bills on time. But I've got a way you can make your payments even on timer. Each month, set up not one, but 2 evenly spaced automatic payments so that your credit balance is always as low as possible. You're not going to pay more. You're just paying the same amount in 2 smaller hits to keep the card's overall balance low. This guarantees that whenever the credit bureaus check in on how much credit you're using, they're going to see you using an almost ridiculously low amount of your credit limit. The bureaus like this, and then they bump up your credit score. So set that extra auto payment up each month, and let's give your credit score a boost. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips or text MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Matt Mayer on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreidlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk live with former and maybe future Congressman Peter Barca about his decision to run this fall in Southeast Wisconsin's 1st District.
Up North News with Pat Kreidlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Airing of the grievances always goes on, but mostly on Fridays. We got a fine guest. That's not a grievance. He's joined me here in the WMDX 92.7 FM studios. He's our friend William Walter. He is currently with Our Wisconsin Revolution, where He's the executive director. William, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. How you been, man?
Oh, Crude, it is a lot of fun to be back. I'm excited to be here. It's been a while. It's been a minute since I've swung by the show, but you know it's always a good time.
Well, you guys had a press event at the Wisconsin Capitol just a block away, but, you know, a few raindrops, so I didn't make my way up that block. I asked you to come join me.
You don't want to melt, Crude.
So what was, well, I am so sweet, William, but what was the purpose? Why was our Wisconsin Revolution out there on the Capitol stairs today?
Yeah, so we wanted to discuss the Wisconsin Conservation Congress in particular. Very few are even familiar with what it is, and I don't say that as criticism.
Let's pretend like Dom doesn't know anything about it.
Pretend I missed that part.
I'll tell you what, Dom, you are not alone. That's the thing. Like that's why right. That's why we wanted to bring attention to it. Is I know. You know, in organizing circles, I'm pretty active. I got a lot of friends around the state and a lot of people that I work with that are doing great work. There's a lot of people who are politically engaged that are not aware of what this is. So imagine if the people who are following along are like, the what? The Wisconsin Conservation Congress? Imagine what regular Wisconsinites think when you were to mention something like this. You know, the people who aren't very closely following everything that goes in on and around the state on a daily basis. So in their own words, the Wisconsin Conservation Congress is the only statutory body in the state where citizens elect delegates to advise the Natural Resources Board and the Department of Natural Resources on how to responsibly manage Wisconsin's natural resources for present and future generations. In other words, you elect delegates every year, people at the county level or at the district level, and they get to come together and speak on behalf of their most pressing environmental concerns. What matters to you about the environment in Wisconsin? How can we do our best to protect our natural resources, protect our communities, protect our people, protect the life within? And how can we utilize the pristine and diverse ecosystems of Wisconsin, not just today, but for tomorrow? What can we do as the people of Wisconsin to really make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect our environment? And our criticism, our concern around the WCC.
Is this a partisan body or nonpartisan body, if I may ask?
This is nonpartisan. So again, it's citizen-elected statutory oversight of the NRB. They get to make suggestions and recommendations to the Natural Resources Board, being the NRB. I saw the little, excuse me?
There's all the acronyms.
Too many acronyms,
yes,
right?
Yes, there are many, many acronyms in this world.
Realistically, if we Googled NRB, I bet you I could find like four or five other legitimate organizations too. So good call making me clarify there, Crudy. But it's the they get to advise the Natural Resources Board on recommendations that the citizens, you know, delegates, people who are interested in these issues, have come to support. The problem with that is, in our experience and in our opinion, based on what delegates have brought to us, is that the WCC has been behaving anti-democratically now for about 10, 20 years at this point, going back multiple decades. There's a long and extensive history of behavior that is antithetical to the purpose of the organization, which is to represent all Wisconsin citizens and the interests of all Wisconsin citizens rather than a few. You know, we dug up the data, actually, our Wisconsin Revolution did. Let me make sure I get it for you word for word so that I'm not misspeaking here. By our calculations, over 98% of Wisconsin Conservation Congress recommendations to the Natural Resources Board over the past 20 years have been pro-hunting, trapping, hounding, and/or fishing. Now, that's not to discourage that type of behavior. We simply wanted to point out that
often, hounding?
Hounding.
Does that mean like chasing bears with hound dogs?
That is what that means.
And we actually, and this is so weird to me, but we reimburse the hunters when their dogs are killed in the pursuit of game, let's call it. Well, so if you chase a bear with 20 dogs and 10 of them end up dead, you get reimbursed thousands of dollars per dog. This is really crazy to me, but anyways, please go on.
Which incentivizes what? It incentivizes sacrificing the dog, right?
Sort of.
Well, for a bigger payday, why not? I mean, don't tell Christy Noem.
We'll get there. I don't know if you know that South Dakota Governor Christy Noem put down the family pet.
Oh, I had not heard that story.
It was a naughty dog, apparently.
Oof. I'm glad I was at my press conference instead. But, you know, you take this the next step then, too, with a lot of hounding when you're using dogs to hunt. Wolves and dogs are pretty similar, right? There's an argument that could be made when you're utilizing hounds to hunt wolves that this is a form of legalized dog fighting, something that a lot of environmental activists have brought to my attention as well. And I'm not here to make that argument today. I'm simply here to point out that there's a lot of stuff that goes into these issues, and the majority of Wisconsinites aren't following along. They're not paying attention, and they have a right to. They deserve to be able to be informed and know what's going on with their state. To dive back into the numbers for you quick, Rudy, only 12% of the state's population is actively engaged or involved in consumptive practices. These individuals known as consumptive users, which is defined by Oxford reference as the use of resources in ways that reduce supply. I'm not a mathematician, guys, right? But I do know that if 12% of the state is active users, that means that 88% of the state is not. The vast majority of the state is non-consumptive users, and based on the recommendation history of the WCC, if 98% of their recommendations are pro-consumptive user policy, that means the vast majority of the state is not being represented. And this goes deeper than just, you know, consumptive versus non-consumptive users.
Consumptive being hunters that would consume game that they shoot? And they're setting so many of the policies. Am I understanding this right?
Anybody that consumes the resources, so hunting, trapping, fishing, consumptive as in they're utilizing the resources that do have a limited supply.
I got immediately confused because when I think of consumption, I think of Dom and tequila.
That is a form of consumption as well.
To the devil's advocates, William Walter, executive director for Our Wisconsin Revolution. William, the consumption. What about the land? Is that part of it as well? The farming, does that play into this Congress, or is that an entirely separate issue?
Sure. I mean, all of these issues in theory could play under this umbrella. There's, for example, there's what's known as the three-county two-year rule, which actually was just recently, last year, they got rid of this. And what that stated was any resolution, and again, resolutions can be brought by the delegates, can be brought by the citizens of Wisconsin, anything that they're interested in pushing or supporting, that passes in three or more counties for two or more consecutive years automatically qualifies for a recommendation. Whether that's going to be around consumptive practices, whether it's going to be around land, whatever it may or may not be about. And actually, the WCC last year, they got rid of this rule because a lot of policies that would be more pro-wildlife conservation type effort policies that didn't align with the I'll call it a good old boys network that the delegate Congress or usually that delegates from the Conservation Congress tend to be year after year, right? It's a club. It's a big club of like-minded individuals that are passionate and engaged and organized, but that tends to be individuals that have a special interest in these activities. And again, according to the delegates that we have ran with and we have supported in the past, those who don't agree with them have been intimidated, they've been bullied, they've been threatened, they've been silenced. They're told, you know, you're a non-consumptive user, what do you know? You're not engaged or involved in any of this. Okay, just because I'm not out there hunting doesn't mean that I don't own 10 acres of land in northern Wisconsin that serves as a diverse ecosystem where all of these creatures live, where all of these, all of this activity is going on. We talked about hounding before, Crudy. You want to know another little fun fact? Did you know legally that when hounds are on the pursuit, they do not, obviously, as you can imagine, dogs don't recognize property lines, but they're legally protected as well from property lines. For example, if we live in northern Wisconsin and hounds are on the hunt and my two young children are hanging out in their backyard, it is perfectly legal for this horde of rabid dogs on the hunt to come barreling through my yard as they're on the chase. So a lot of these issues, it's not just environmental concerns. You know, this is personal property. This is the health and well-being of my family and my community. So many of these issues are intertwined, and our criticism is that everyone in the state is not being fairly heard. For an institution that prides itself on the democratic process, we need to be able to be democratic about it.
So what do William Walter, our fine guest from Our Wisconsin Revolution, he's the executive director thereof. They had a presser today at the Capitol, and what are you advocating for then? What solutions look like to you, sir?
That's a great question. And it's a lot, I think, conceptually, our argument is more that perhaps the legislation...
I watched too much Supreme Court. It can't be a hypothetical, man. You got to get me straight. Sorry, I tease.
We want the legislature to get involved. We believe that without change at the top and without more direct instruction, let's say, from elected officials, the ones who, you know, have won their position by winning democratically at the local level, it's going to be hard for this network of entrenched power brokers, let's call them, to shift their views or opinions. They're going to continue to defer to their friends and to their allies and to their to the individuals who see the world through their same perspective. And it's just doing a disservice to the state in its entirety. To give you another example of some of these undemocratic practices, 8 years ago, Milwaukee County, which is, of course, the most populous county in the state, a floor vote at the state convention took away their two seats on the district leadership council. They were then merged with four other counties in southeastern Wisconsin. Milwaukee County, the most populous county in the state, no longer has independent representation, despite the fact that it's, you know, the largest county by almost twofold, with Dane being second.
Not enough consumptive users hunting in the city limits, apparently.
Well, evidently, though that's interesting because, as one of our speakers noted at the press conference today, the most hunting licenses in the state are sold in Dane County. The second most are sold in Milwaukee County. That's where the people are. This shouldn't be surprising. People are the ones who are consuming. Right. Like, let's not overthink this. It's the same argument you hear about land versus people voting. Oh, well, if the land has all this space, that doesn't matter because human beings are the ones who are going into the voting polls and human beings are the ones whose opinion we need to listen to. I don't care what 500 empty square miles about something thinks. I care about what the people in that community believe.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine Friday guest. He is William Walter from Our Wisconsin Revolution. He's the executive director. William, let's talk about that organization for a minute. Is this an outcrop of Bernie's organization? Is that what Our Wisconsin Revolution is?
We are the state offspring of the National Our Revolution Group, yes, but we are completely independent of them, which is something that I'm really proud of because it allows us to work with the national organization when our platforms and our goals align, but it also means we don't have to defer to them. We can focus on issues that are more specific to the state of Wisconsin, and we're membership driven. So what I want to be able to do is have my volunteers and my members come to me and say, this is an issue that's important to me. This is what matters to me. What can we do about it? For example, I don't know, say the Wisconsin Conservation Congress, which my environmental committee brought to me multiple years ago and said, hey, you know, this is a thing that's going on. We've been trying to contact our legislators. We've been trying to get something done about it, and nothing ever changes. What can we do to organize around this issue? And I said, that's a great idea. Let's do it. So we've been training and preparing delegates, offering them resources that they need to go about this situation and become a delegate themselves. But then they come back with some of these horror stories that they've experienced. So we're just trying to kind of bring light to the situation, bring light to the Congress itself, try to get more Wisconsinites involved and engaged. Look it up yourself. Google it. If you're interested, attend the spring hearings. Do what you got to do, but make sure you're informed and involved because I think a lot of Wisconsinites and Americans don't do a good job of that.
Short on time, William Walter, but in terms of the fight for small-D democracy, where does Our Wisconsin Revolution, what's the role?
We want to be a progressive organization dedicated to working-class Americans. We don't want to have to rely on a party superstructure. We want to be driven by the boots-on-the-ground organizers doing the work. And if you think you're one of those individuals, please reach out to us. We want to be able to assist you. We want to give you the resources necessary. We want to be independent of the two-party structure, but at the same time, fight for the platform that we all know is best.
William, I appreciate both the beard and the mustache because otherwise... You know, a little too close to the Eric Hudby, the pornstachio thing going on.
This is all I can grow, Grudy. This is all I can grow.
Buddy, I'm wearing a hat because this is all I can grow. William Walter, Our Wisconsin Revolution Executive Director. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for what you do, my friend.
It's always fun to be here. William. Thanks for having me, guys.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. More Wisconsin, more of your calls. 844-967-2789.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. Feel free to join us anytime. Airing of the grievances always allowed on Fridays, 844-967-2789.
In my head, I'm singing, I got my hash pipe.
Well, Weezer. Yeah, well done, Ridge.
Thank you to our most recent guest, William Walter, our Wisconsin Revolution Executive Director. Google them. They're worth a Google. Appreciate Walter, William coming around. Now, I've known William for at least a couple of years, met him at a Democratic Party of Wisconsin convention, but I have struggled mightily with the two first names. William Walter, Walter William. It just
William Walter, yes.
It back and forth. It's in my mind. I think I might have them reversed in my cell phone, so that really confuses
them. That doesn't help. Or even if it's right, maybe it comes in backwards, right? 844-967-2789. Thank you, William Walter, Executive Director, our Wisconsin Revolution. And to his point, you know, the self-governance thing, there is a lot going on. You know what I mean? There is anywhere, every time you look, there's something to get involved in, something to see. So if you're inclined whatsoever, I would suggest you follow William's advice, look him up, do the Google for our Wisconsin Revolution, find out what we're talking about with regards to these, this WCC. There's input to be had, and there's power to be leveraged. If you care about some of these issues, I certainly encourage everyone to do what you can to get involved.
Sorry, my mind was wandering to the NFL draft, Tom. Did you watch last night? I watched the entire first round. I did a little bit.
I saw that. I got my Lions. Don't Stop Believing Lions t-shirt, man. Look at this, baby. Yeah.
Oh, that's old.
57. Don't Stop Believing.
It was a fun party, Dom. Not Roselle. Who is it? Goodell. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, said largest first night attendance ever. And then he invited the crowd to come back on night 2 and 3. Now, we used to get together with our college roommates for this event. It was sort of during the week, though. Well, it was on the weekend then, and they didn't do the 3-day event. This is actually an expansion of the draft. It used to be like day 1, day 2. And we'd get together on day 1. We'd, you know, hammer some beers and get together and tell stories about the glory days, Tom. And then they started doing it on a Thursday night, and that kind of screwed everything up. But here's what I'm looking forward to, Dom. Next year, it's in Green Bay.
Wow.
They're coming to us.
I was talking about this last night with some friends. It's like, where are you going to put, hundreds of thousands of people? I mean, how many people are in Detroit right now? I heard numbers of, 300,000 people. Is that accurate?
Yes, that seems accurate. Yeah. They expected over 300,000 people in attendance.
I mean, that's a lot.
That's a Detroit's party.
Detroit's a big town, man. There's a lot of space in Motown. You know what I'm saying? Where are 300,000 folks going to come in Green Bay, man? There'll be they'll be flowing down to Milwaukee, to Madison, to Chicago. I mean, there's not 300,000 hotel rooms in Green Bay.
Certainly not. I've tried to get a hotel room on a Packer home weekend. Very difficult.
Right.
Very difficult. And this event will dwarf any Packer party up until now. Even home playoff games. I've been to home playoff games. They don't get 300,000. Even with hangers on that never had tickets, that just sit out there and party in the parking lot. Guys like JP. Right. I wonder if my buddy JP is listening. He will go to a game and not even have a ticket and just take his chances.
Let's see what happens.
This just did be it the for the party man, anyways.
I get that. Yeah, it's all about the party. Come on, half the people that get that. A fair amount of folks I've gone to games with, be it Brewers games or Packers games. Sometimes, hell, even concerts. Sometimes they never make it in. You know what I mean? A little too much fun out in the parking lot. So you can always snag a cheap ticket, perhaps, with some of those folks.
Well, the NFL draft, it's interesting because they had live bands playing on the stage and stuff. I mean, it was an ongoing party. It was almost like the draft picks were getting in the way of the good times going on in Detroit last night. That and Roger Goodell.
Green Bay. All right,
he got booed more than once, didn't he?
Green Bay, man. You happy with the, the offensive lineman pick? No. What were you looking for?
Not a tackle. Not an offensive lineman. What is this kid's name? I've got it here somewhere. Jordan Morgan. I mean, I'm sure he's a fine young man from Arizona. But no, man, I wanted them to grab one of these 4-2-5 cornerbacks. That I wanted them to draft on the defensive side.
Yeah, yeah. I think Detroit picked up a cornerback as well. What about the Bears, man? I was all the Kuchka. Happy birthday, Kuchka. The Bears fans are very happy about what? Caleb Williams, quarterback.
Their next,
what was your thought?
Their next bust? That was my thought. You know, Jordan Love, in his first year as a starter, had, 30 touchdown passes, I believe, and 4,000 yards. And in the history of the Bears franchise, no one has ever achieved either of those numbers. This guy's effectively a first-year starter, and he would have set the franchise records for both touchdown passes and yards. That doesn't even scratch the surface here. Not when you got Bart Starr and Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers that have set legacies before you. The legacy of Chicago. And I'm glad the WCPT listeners can't hear me right now, Dom.
Come on, man.
But it's a sad legacy. We still own their asses.
What about Rex Grossman, man?
Trubinsky, I thought he was the future. Jay Cutler.
Smoking Jay Cutler.
Bobby Douglas. There were so many failures. And you know, when you ask a Bears fan, who was the good one? Who was the good one? Jim McMahon is all they say. The bad boy from BYU. That's the best they can offer. He's a former Packer as well. My favorite moment in the Packer-Bears rivalry, when Charles Martin picked up Jim McMahon and just body slammed him for no good reason. He had already thrown an interception that was like a block. Come back a Friday happy hour. We'll turn to Trump and all things national.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates. More Trump trials in Manhattan. We'll find out who's on the prosecution's witness list. Tune in, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This is locally grown radio,
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. A strong tornado damaged hundreds of structures in Omaha, Nebraska, Friday afternoon. KOLN-TV reporter John Grinvalds describes the destruction.
There's debris all around. There were cars that were picked up and thrown over here, scattered pieces of metal all twisted around. There's a lot of first responders who came out here, departments all around the area.
Twisters also hit Oklahoma and Texas. Injuries were reported, but no deaths thus far. Pro-Palestinian demonstrations are roiling college campuses across the country. It all started at Columbia University in New York City, where the protests are still ongoing. CBS's Michael George was there.
Columbia is working to regain control by keeping outsiders out. Security is now checking IDs to make sure only students and staff can get in.
It was a different scene at Ohio State overnight. At least three people, including a graduate student, were arrested after setting up an encampment near the Student Union Center. Video posted on social media Thursday showed officers tearing down tents at Emory University in Georgia.
The testimony of former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker dominated the first week of former President Donald Trump's hush money trial. Correspondent Willie James Inman has a summary.
During testimony for the prosecution this week, Pecker described how he helped conceal potentially damaging stories about Trump during the 2016 election. The defense argued that the practice known as catch and kill